Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, where we are covering everything DeMarcus Cousins and New Orleans Pelicans for you. With a lot of great content over the past week, 2 weeks. I'm kind of losing track of days in the aftermath of the Cousins trade, and then Mardi Gras hitting right after. Today on Locked On Pelicans, got a great interview for you guys with Tass Mellis. Of the starters on NBA TV, he was gracious enough to join me and talk about what he's seen from DeMarcus Cousins in the three games that he's played with the Pelicans, which, as you know, they are 0-3. So I'm going to play that for you guys in a little bit and then just get you set up for the game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs and give you an idea of what we're going to talk about on Locked On Pelicans next week. I've got a lot of great stuff coming as we get into the final fifth of the season or so, this stretch run, whether or not the Pels will make the playoffs. But really, this whole DeMarcus Cousins trade and everything going on right now isn't about this season. This is far more about what happens this coming off season and then the expectations that are going to be on this team next year. I want to start talking about that in the future here, their salary cap situation, whether they're going to operate with cap room, without cap room, who some of the targets might be. So I'm going to hopefully have a guest or two to talk about all of that for you guys coming up. Now, before we get into the interview and the other things I want to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, don't forget there's a lot of home games still left to go, right around 10, 12, something like that. I forget exactly what the number is. And you want to be in on the action, especially now that this team has DeMarcus Cousins here. This is all of a sudden the hottest ticket there is in the city of New Orleans, which is not easy to do, by the way. And there's no better way to get in on the action than SeatGeek. And you guys have heard me talk about them before. SeatGeek's got a very great system. Basically, you can check their website, download the app from wherever you download your apps from. And it's a seat aggregator. It's working like Kayak to pull seats from different areas and show you the best prices on them. Sometimes seats are listed for different prices in one place or another. SeatGeek's just going to show you the lowest one. What you want. You work hard for your money. Make sure you're getting the most value for it. SeatGeek is definitely the way to do that. Go to the App Store, download their app. It's simple and easy to use. I've used it for a bunch of Saints games this year. I used it to go to the Sugar Bowl when it was in the Superdome. So it's great. You can just get on your phone, take care of it. Downloads right to your phone. Everything is so easy. And for our Locked On Pelicans listeners, we have a promo going as well. So when you download the SeatGeek app, you sign up and you log in, go to settings, enter promo code, and put in the promo code of LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. LO Pelicans. They're going to give you a $20 rebate just for buying tickets to a game you already wanted to go to anyway. Use it for a Pelicans game. Get out there and see DeMarcus Cousins. You know, he's back from the suspension. And as you're going to hear in the interview coming up, things are looking bright for this team, and though they've started 0-3, they're going to start winning soon, and you're going to start seeing consistent and better play, and you don't want to be left out. So download the SeatGeek app today. Make sure you get in on the action and get your $20 rebate for going to a game you are already going to go to. So again, the promo code is LO Pelicans. And joining me here on Locked On Pelicans, I have Tass Mellis from the starters on NBA TV. And Tass, thanks so much for spending some time with me here today.
Jake, thanks for having me on. No problem at all.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned to me when we were messaging, trying to set this up, that you've watched all three of these games with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. And I've seen you've posted a little bit about it on Facebook. What are your just general impressions, for the 0-3 start with him so far?
Yeah, I was really curious to see how it all was going to pan out. And I think the first thing you have to mention is that the schedule wasn't kind to the Pelicans in those first three games. So losing to the Rockets, I think, was entirely fine. And then I do think that the Dallas game was winnable, and the Thunder game also winnable. I do think those are the types of games they obviously have to win if they're going to make the postseason. At the same time, the first few games back to back on the road, they're going to be tough. Learning the entire, the playbook and where everybody is on the floor is going to be tough. That being said, DeMarcus just isn't comfortable out there. But at the same time, I think he made himself a little less comfortable than he could have been out there, especially in the Dallas game. He was just extremely passive and was just trying to feel it out. And it worked out okay, 30 points in the first quarter for the Pels, but because he wasn't going at the defense, I think he didn't get the most out of Jrue Holiday and the rest of the supporting cast, because he demands so many guys around him, gives so much space to the rest of the guys. And those sort of complementary players need DeMarcus to be DeMarcus to be, that good. DeMarcus has to be a star. I mean, he has to just be aggressive. When you got Dirk Nowitzki playing against you, you have to be aggressive and you have to go at him and take advantage of that. And I think, the team suffered because of it. The biggest worry so far is, we saw Jrue Holiday play well against the Pistons, but he didn't play well in any of those three games. And I guess he's just not comfortable. I mean, watching him, he just doesn't look like Jrue Holiday. He looks like he's, fumbling the ball a little bit, just sort of lacking confidence big time when he's out there, kind of fumbling the ball. The shot's not right. And I guess it's just going to take time. I'm sure Pelicans fans don't want to hear it, and it's kind of a cop-out. But I think when it comes to a guy just not looking like himself at all, I think that's what you have to point to. DeMarcus kind of being passive is a huge part of this, sort of the 0-3 run, especially the Dallas game. I should say it's mainly the Dallas game where he was passive. And then the next night where he was in foul trouble, he scored like a machine Sunday against the Thunder, but the foul trouble kept him off. And listen, the Pelicans with all those moving parts, with Jared Jack coming in, Hollis Thompson coming in, and Omri Caspi going out, and Reggie Williams coming in, there's so many moving parts. It's understandable that if you don't have a superstar performance from your superstars, that you're not going to win a back-to-back on the road. So, all that to say, heck of a learning experience. Those first three games, they are sort of in each other's way at times, but it's cool to see this, the great sports word, the takeover ability of a superstar. When DeMarcus wants to do it, he kills it. When Anthony Davis wants to do it, he kills it. And obviously they look a heck of a lot better when one of them is on the floor and the other one is on the bench. But I think there's been enough good minutes of them together that this bodes well for the future. Does it bode well for the near future and making the postseason? I don't think so. It's just such an uphill battle, and that was the battle that they had when they made this acquisition. And the games, as I mentioned, the Dallases and the OKCs, the teams that they're sort of in the same ballpark with, they've got to win those games. And 1-3, it's at this point, it's going to be again an uphill climb.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. What I've been saying when it just comes to the playoff stuff, at least they have three games left against the Nuggets, which if they can win all three of those, which is a big if right now, at least they kind of claw back into contention, but it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the means. I know Pelicans fans are really holding out hope for this right now. But you mentioned where you have Davis and Cousins kind of getting in each other's space, and Cousins looking a little passive. And then you mentioned Holiday struggles as well, which is often, I think, him just being passive and not really quite sure of what to do. Is the spacing just the result of Davis and Boogie on the court together, or the way I see it a little bit is, especially in the Dallas game, they were just not respecting any of the other Pelicans perimeter players to knock down shots, especially, which, you know, mucked the spacing up some.
Yeah. I think the spacing can be entirely fine. It's Drew Holiday has to be, you're right. I mean, he's got to be a scorer because that's what he is. If he's ready to take those shots, if everybody's ready to take shots, it really goes back to, you know, the grade school teaching of, you know, look at the rim. You know, you have to be a scorer right away to make the defense respect you. And I think DeMarcus and Drew were culprits of not doing that. And I did find the shooters were ready to shoot, but they just weren't making a lot of shots, as you mentioned. And, you know, if guys aren't looking at the rim and ready to score, it makes everybody worse. And I think, you know, Anthony Davis has been fantastic, you know, throughout DeMarcus's run here. He looks extremely comfortable, and he's making everyone pay, and that makes everyone better around them. But the spacing, I think it works. It's entirely fine. It's just, you know, there were some moments, especially the Houston game, game one, where, you know, they were really just sort of befuddled at times. Like, oh, I'm getting the ball and you're here. That's odd. 18 Cousins, especially. I think that kind of went away after game one. Cousins, you know, I think Drew Holiday has to be sort of like Cousins and like Davis in that when his shots are there, he has to take them. I think there has to be a clear pecking order here. It's DeMarcus and AD sort of on that same level. And then Drew Holiday has to know that he is the next option above everybody else. And he has to act like a superstar to make everyone respect him. And he has to take his shot when it's there because that's what he is. He's a scorer. And then, you know, the Dante Cunninghams and the Hollis Thompson, they fall in line after that. And Drew is that good of a scorer, and he has to be that. He can't just sort of, you know, be holding the ball and waiting for Cousins to get in the right spot. He has to be a scorer. That's what he is. Anthony Davis said that, you know, this weekend after the Dallas game, he just said, you know, Drew's got to be Drew. And I do agree with that. The guy's a scorer. He's not a prototypical sort of playmaker, but those three guys, you know, have to be sharing the scoring load big time. And Drew's got to just come up firing.
Is he the guy you think, you know, they have to make a decision on him this offseason with Holiday being a free agent? Is that the guy you think they should be running at point guard, or they're potentially maybe they need to go in a different direction?
The three games have obviously not been great, but I do think he is in the prime of his career. He didn't have a training camp. He is, if you look back, even the first, you know, few months of the season, the numbers are fantastic. I don't see why you would go anywhere else. And, you know, maybe you don't have to pay him the max just because of circumstances, maybe because he hasn't had an incredible year. And maybe there's a little bit of a same team discount. I don't see where you're going to go and find somebody better on the free agent market. You know, even if there's a guy, you know, on the same sort of level as Drew Holiday. I think, you know, in theory and in practice, the first few seasons the first few months of the season, he is the perfect third wheel. And so I don't think these three games should be an indicator that he can't be that guy.
No, and hopefully Pelicans fans, I agree with you, haven't really given up on him yet. And even I wrote about it, the 13 games leading up to the All-Star break, he was playing incredibly well when he realized that he just needed to be kind of the second fiddle, the go-to scorer next to Anthony Davis, and now it just takes even more pressure off of him. What have you seen on the defensive side? So everyone was worried with them bringing in Cousins and the Pelicans actually having a top 10 defense for the first time in a very long time, that everything was going to need to change. Has Cousins been defending the paint pretty well? What have you seen so far?
Cousins has been defending the paint pretty well. I think the one issue with Cuz has been he's just thinking a little bit too much. I think he's being put in pick and roll situations. He's getting put out there, you know, by, you know, the elbow or the mid range. And he's kind of just freezing for a second when the ball handler goes by, he doesn't make the decision quick enough, and he kind of gets iced a little bit. He's just frozen there for a second. When he does make up his mind, he's so athletic, he can recover really quickly and make it up. So I'm not too worried about the defense. AD does the same thing very well. I think DeMarcus Cousins is good enough to guard in space. He's good enough and athletic enough to guard in space. So I'm not too worried. Points are going on the board because maybe DeMarcus isn't used to different, I don't know what it is, schemes, terminology, but he's just kind of lost a little bit. But it's not that he hasn't been working his butt off. There's been plenty of blocks. There's been plenty of boards. There's been plenty of rim deterrence and intimidation down there by DeMarcus. I guess it's communicating with his guard a little bit more that he's working with on the pick and roll and acting a little bit quicker, which I think DMC has also shown on the offensive end that he hasn't acted quick enough at times. When Rick Carlisle was throwing double teams at him on Saturday, he was just kind of sitting there and waiting. And I think it was sort of a theme of the night, as I mentioned before, just kind of passive and wasn't doing what he should be doing in terms of just taking over and being DeMarcus Cousins. He was kind of just waiting to see what happens. And that's when the double teams came. That's when the turnovers came. And it seemed to be the same thing on the defensive end, just frozen a little bit. But I think he's good enough and a good enough defender. And I think this situation in New Orleans, just a new situation, will help him, crank it into gear a little bit more. Because, he was a little bit lazy at times on the defensive end with the Kings. But AD taking a load off him offensively, Drew helping out, will help him defensively. And I think just a new scenery will help him as well.
Yeah, and he seems, as everyone saw from Mardi Gras and everything the other day, he seems pretty happy here in New Orleans so far. Even his introductory press conference, it looked like he was buddy-buddy already with Alvin Gentry and general manager Dell Demps. And with Gentry, so this is the question I get the most, probably more than anything right now, and this is just being kind of the theme with Pelicans fans and how they feel about everything, is before this trade, they wanted Gentry very much gone. Is he the right coach to, run this offense with these two bigs? Do they look for someone more aligned with Monty Williams, who would have wanted two bigs like this for his offense?
That's a fair question, but at the same time, Alvin Gentry has been around the game a long time, and I think coaches quite often they get this reputation like this is the type of coach he is. He can't coach anything else because, that's sort of our job in the media, just to have something to talk about. But Alvin Gentry is simply put, a good offensive basketball coach, and I wouldn't worry at this point. I think there's no way Dell Demps doesn't give him another season. If they don't make the postseason, I know why people would say, this Pelicans team just can't put it together, but Alvin Gentry has to go. But in my opinion, he's going to get another shot. Yeah, he deserves another shot with a healthy team, with a steady rotation. And, I am not privy to the ongoings of the locker room and whether he can get guys motivated. I have no idea. But as far as X's and O's, he should get another shot next year, whether or not they make the postseason.
I mean, even with Cousins and the history he had in Sacramento going through six coaches in 7 years, it just can't seem like it's a good idea to put him through something like that and start off his, hopefully long-term tenure here in New Orleans like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't really make sense. It's so difficult to evaluate a coach when there's so many moving parts going in and out. And as the injuries and the roster turning over, do you want to make a change strictly because there's a narrative out there, there's a mindset out there in New Orleans that this guy can't do the job? But I don't think that's a problem because this acquisition sort of buoys them above that, right? They don't need that right now because they have a superstar in tow that he can be the sort of the guy that you know, allows the fan base to give them another shot. You know, it could be looked at going into the offseason. It could be looked at, all right, you know, we had our couple tumultuous years here, but now we've got AD and now we've got DeMarcus. I'm sure the season ticket holders will be, you know, lining up to get tickets. So I don't think there's a real need for a coaching change. And I totally agree with you. What's the point in changing, you know, year after year after year after year? You need that stability. That's what the best franchises do. And, you know, some coaches, they get canned because they don't do a very good job. But for the most part, these guys can coach. These guys know their X's and O's, and he's a likable guy. And I understand sometimes coaches lose the locker room after several years, but I think this will be an entirely new locker room. And again, I think it would be unfair and sort of just, even though he's been there, you know, for a couple of years now, I think it would sort of be an impulse decision to axe him after 25 games of DeMarcus and AD, regardless of, the results.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I was diving into a lot of the numbers and the player tracking data over at NBA.com with those three losses, and they shot like 30% on uncontested looks. It's not like, you know, Gentry can go out there and we've seen him dunk in practice, I guess, but it's not like he's going to go out there in a game and start hitting open threes for the team.
Yeah, and again, the stability, like, you know, people obviously focusing on DeMarcus Cousins, but you know, you've got a backup point guard who comes in and plays a heck of a lot of minutes in Jared Jack. You've got a new starting shooting guard in Hollis Thompson who, you know, was acquired last week. And then Reggie Williams shows up, which I didn't really love that transaction after cutting Omri Caspi. So, you know, three new parts, who guys who aren't necessarily, you know, comfortable making their shots, but they're thrown in there because of, you know, a roster that hasn't been sort of that stable. So I don't think there's any way that you can really put it on Alvin Gentry with all those moving parts and without guys who are comfortable shooting the ball. You know, those guys, I think, you know, all those guys I mentioned, you know, Jared Jack, not a fantastic three-point shooter, Hollis Thompson, hopefully he will be in the future. And Reggie Williams, you know, has been known to shoot. But, you know, I was excited about Omri Caspi because he is a sort of a stable guy who's got a good three-point shooting percentage. So I was kind of confused as to why they let him go. Dante Cunningham, never been able to shoot all that much. Etuan Moore, you know, I'd like to think, you know, he'll be a steady shooter for them. You know, I do have some faith in his shot on the outside. But, you know, it's such a position of turnover on the wing. Guys who can shoot seem to get injured or leave the team. You know,
oh, it's just been going on for like years at this point. Like there's bad voodoo or something down here when it comes to this. You know, Caspi in the first game just breaking his thumb right away, and that was a guy I know they were really excited to have and, you know, be part of the team.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a great locker room guy. Again, shocked that. You know, he would be let go for, I understand they need depth there, but I don't know. I didn't really get that. Hopefully, I don't know how the circumstances work out, but I don't know. Can they get him back in the future? I don't know. But he would have been a perfect, you know, seemingly a perfect guy on the wing to have.
Yeah, I'm actually going to cover that later in the week. So if you get some time, try and tune in on. I think I kind of see what they're trying to do when it comes to the offseason. It looks like they're trying to actually operate below the salary cap of all things to maybe position themselves to bring in like a fourth guy making about $20 million or so. But not entirely. You know, we're going to find out. So basically what it sounds like you've been saying the whole time is it just needs some time to all come together. But it looks like, yeah, you know, it's still hard to, no matter what's going to happen, kill this move for the Pelicans.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's not the juiciest of sound bites to say that it's going to take some time. But they dug themselves a hole, you know, being 3.5 back of the Pelicans when they made the trade. Or the Pelicans, I'm sorry, the Nuggets when they made the trade. And, you know, being in the Western Conference, the schedule's not going to be easy. And, you know, two superstars can get you a win. It can get you a win in Dallas on the road. It can get you a win in OKC on the road. But when your superstar is not on the floor because of foul trouble, or when your superstar is not acting like a superstar, maybe just because it's a new team and that line comes in, hey, they need some time. He needs to be comfortable. You know, those losses are going to add up. And as you mentioned earlier, yeah, if they go play the Nuggets and they get those wins, of course they've got a great shot because nobody's really running away with it. That being said, the Nuggets have had, aside from their trade for a backup in Mason Plumlee, they've had, you know, 60 games of sort of camaraderie, and you know, they've won two in a row, and they look like the team to beat right now, and you can never count out a Rick Carlisle team in the Mavs. So it's just an uphill battle, and I don't think it's going to take a heck of a lot of time because these guys, I do think, you know, DeMarcus is sort of that good just to be a great one-on-one player. He doesn't really need a whole lot of X's and O's from Alvin Gentry. Same with AD. You know, Drew getting comfortable and guys just frankly hitting shots can happen without a whole lot of time together. It's just, you know, the hole that they've dug because of, you know, injuries and, you know, Drew Holiday not being around the team is frankly just not an exceptional roster. Just might be a little too late in the season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, most Pelicans fans at this point are kind of gearing up for next year, where they're going to have a lot of high expectations and a lot of excitement about it. So, Tass, thank you so much for joining me on here. I don't want to keep you too long today. And so just quickly, for those who – everyone's hopefully watching the starters, but if not, just give everyone a brief rundown about it.
It's a show on NBA TV. We have a heck of a lot of fun Monday through Friday. It's also available as a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And we also do two audio-only shows, which are our Twitter and podcast show and the Drop podcast. We call it Tuesday and Friday. So 7 shows in total per week. You can also catch the show on the Twitter show on Twitter on Tuesday. So to sum it all up, we have a heck of a lot of fun 7 times a week, 7 shows. It's also posted on YouTube, so you can find it wherever you want. It's a fun show, whether you're watching in video, listening audio-wise. I've been doing it for a long time. It's a show with buds that, you know, we kind of just shoot the breeze about basketball and also have a lot of fun doing it. So it's a good time.
Yeah, exactly what, you know, is a lot of fun to listen to, and everyone should. So, again, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Go Pels.
And there you have it. Great insight from Tass and why basically it's just time to be patient with this team. Again, you still have the 3 games left against Denver, as I mentioned in that interview, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. And that there are some positive things here that we've seen from the offense, and missing open shots isn't the worst thing you could be doing right now, because eventually it'll be regression to the mean. And as long as these guys are willing to shoot, you will keep defenses honest and those shots will start falling. So Spurs game tonight, ESPN game, going to be a later tip-off in the New Orleans Arena. Not New Orleans Arena, Smoothie King Center. Which I'm pretty excited for, always to get an ESPN game down here. Always fun to have a little bit more attention to this team. So things I'm going to be watching for, give you a little quick preview. Spurs are a good offensive rebounding team this year, which is a little bit different than in the past. They rank 12th in offensive rebound percentage. Pels, as I talked about on the podcast 2 days ago, when you have the starting lineup out there with Etuan Moore, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Solomon Hill, it's got a very good positive net rating. Well, the biggest thing that jumps out on that is the turnover percentage, but we've kind of touched on that on this edition of Locked On Pelicans today. And then the other problem with it is the defensive rebounding percentage. Very low, in the 60s, for having Davis and Cousins on the board. Now you're going up against a team that can grab offensive boards, can do it well. You want to see this Pelicans team grab these defensive boards when both Davis and Cousins are out there on the court. That's going to be important. Otherwise, you can't keep giving the Spurs team second chance points. Pels are, you know, in a bit of a funk defensively, let's say, just a tiny one, since this trade. Partially that's due to just being a depleted team. But you need to grab defensive boards and get your offense going. Not playing in transition, but just get these defensive boards and end opponents' possessions. Something else to keep an eye on is really what are Davis and Cousins both going to do when they get double or triple teamed. And Tass said it, these guys are getting blitzed from all directions by two or three extra defenders every time they get the ball. Is Cousins going to try and draw a foul out of that, or is he going to pass out of it? That's when you want to see him moving the ball especially. Are guards and the perimeter players going to rotate over to provide an outlet pass? If you watch that game against the Pistons, there were a few times where Davis matched up one-on-one, but in kind of a bit of an odd spot with a help defender really shading off of Drew Holiday to cover him. Holiday needs to rotate over once that defender leaves him, or at least cut and get open for a pass. Are they all going to work in conjunction and kind of read each other's minds and have that chemistry and be on the same page? If they are, they're going to have some pretty offense at times, and they're going to make the Spurs pay for double teams. Part of that also goes with these shooters need to hit their shots. Sometimes it really is just a make or miss league. And the Spurs are going to be totally okay if Solomon Hill beats them, if Etwan Moore beats them. They don't want Davis and Cousins to beat them. And these other guys need to step up, hit their shots. They did this against the Spurs with Dante Cunningham, you know, making some threes, Etwan Moore. So those guys need to step up, just hit their open shots. I don't ask them, you're not asking them to make plays. We don't need that. Just hit the open shots, and they're going to be open because the Pelicans have been taking a lot of uncontested shots with these two guys out on the court. But no matter what, it's going to be a fun game, finally getting to see DeMarcus Cousins play back in New Orleans, even though the Pelicans' schedule since they've made this trade has been brutally tough. Spurs, you know, probably think they have a chance at the number one overall seed in the Western Conference right now, only three games back in the loss column of Golden State. Who's got Durant missing now. So they're not going to really roll over. I know they've come to New Orleans a few times, not played well. That's not going to be the case tonight. So hopefully the Pels can get a win. Look, losses aren't bad. It is what it is right now. Top three protected pick. Don't forget that. But the biggest thing is you just want to see improvement on a nightly basis from these guys. So as long as you see Cousins and Davis coexisting together, being staggered and used right in the rotation, you call it, I guess, maybe a moral victory for the Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Wrap up the week with a great interview. So thank you again to Tass Mellis from the Starters on NBA TV for coming on, talking a bit about the Pelicans here with me today. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody. Also, they play the Lakers Sunday. Jazz, I believe, is Monday. Should be a lot of fun. Those are winnable games, too. Jazz, they got blown out by last time here in New Orleans, don't forget. So want to get some revenge there. So enjoy your weekend. Go Pels, as Tass said. Hopefully they can get some victories here. No matter what, I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap everything, talk some salary cap next week, explain maybe where the Pelicans are going this offseason, what they're trying to do, get inside the head of general manager Dell Demps. We'll cover that and a whole lot more. So thank you all for listening, and I'll talk with you all next time.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.